Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time Easter season Peeps fanatic.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, that show that embraces foreign films, even if between the three of us we speak maybe one and a half languages, that half comprising my restaurant Spanish and Mary Pat's phrasebook Italian. So yes, we are big fans of subtitles, and subtitles came in handy as we saw two films this past week that taxed our respective brains, and not just because they were rendered in a blend of Spanish, French, Berber, Arabic, and heavily accented English. No, the main problem is that both Surratt, the Oscar-nominated international film directed and co-written by Olivier Lachey, and Alpha, written and directed by Julia Ducournau, play out on the screen in demanding, sometimes confounding ways. To explain, let's first head to the desert of southern Morocco. It's there that we are introduced to Luis, played by Sergi Lopez, Esteban, played by Bruno Nunez Aronha, and the dog Pipa, real name unknown, all of whom are on a quest to find Luis's daughter. This brings them in contact with a group of ravers who are like a bunch of Burning Man revelers, downing ecstasy and dancing to the beat of driving rhythms set up in a desert landscape. Suddenly, things are disrupted by military troops. It appears that some larger world war, we hear it referred to as World War III, is going on. A small band of ravers flee off against the landscape with Luis, Esteban, and Pipa in pursuit. And so goes Surratt, one of the 2026 Oscar nominees for Best International Feature Film. Give director and co-screenwriter Lachey credit. He uses a pounding musical score, thanks to the electronic musician known as Kangding Ray, to underscore a film that pulls no punches, especially when it comes to unexpected, gut-twisting plot twists. He also gets some strong performances, not just from Lopez, but from a few first-time actors such as Jade Okud and Stefania Gada. It might have helped, though, if he had provided a little more context to explain what he was trying to achieve, other than, as the Arabic word Surratt suggests, a simple trek to cross the bridge over hell that leads to paradise.
Well, I'm really torn about this movie because it is expertly, beautifully made. And yet, despite all of its heavy subject matter and themes, the movie seemed to me kind of empty. And the headline on Surratt, which we've been hearing about for months, and long before anyone outside of the Cannes Film Festival had seen it, is that shocking things happen in it. Yeah. And that headline is accurate. And some of the things that happen in it really did surprise and upset me. There's one moment, and you'll know it when it happens, where my mouth actually did fall open.
I almost fell off the couch.
But I can't help feeling that it's kind of easy to just prod your audience with intermittent shocks, and it's much more difficult to use those shocks to further your themes. And I think Lachey, as a director and a co-writer, has a lot on his mind, but I ultimately don't think he says very much. I see here a director kind of hiding behind these capital T themes, and he even opens the movie with this portentous text about the religious significance of the title. And I have to admit, I rolled my eyes a little bit at it because it's announcing its self-importance right away. And he's kind of doing it for the sake of nihilism. And those moments that everyone's going to be talking about, they get a rise out of us. But I also can't help thinking, how could they not? Mm-hmm. However, there are some amazing scenes and performances in Surratt. And the ones I like the best are in the first half of the movie before anything really terrible happens. All of the actors that you mentioned, many of whom are actual ravers that the filmmakers discovered through almost like a street casting scenario, are fantastic. And I liked this group of outcasts who have basically formed this makeshift family. And all the way through Surratt, I kept thinking, why have they welcomed this very soft-spoken man and his child into their flock? And by the way, the father, that actor, Sergi Lopez, you might recognize him as the evil villain of Guillermo del Toro's Pan's Labyrinth. This is a total 180 from that performance. But I think they welcome them in because they see themselves in his missing daughter. I think they were once missing children at some point. And so there are some really lovely, touching moments, but those are not the moments that most people are going to be talking about when they see Surratt. So I don't actually think that this is a bad movie by any means. I just think it's underbaked ultimately. And maybe the months of breathless hype surrounding it didn't much help, because we've been wanting to see this movie for a long time.
It
never opened here in theaters.
I think it screened at the Palm Springs International Film Festival one time only. Not in theaters. Despite our travels, we couldn't get a hold of it. So I was eagerly awaiting seeing this film. And it was different from what I expected. But at the same time, I thought it, I mean, it's a loose story. It's basically one plot line, this man seeking his daughter. But is that actually true? I mean, it's about family and what alternative forms of family and what does that look like? Because we figure, I mean, he's with his son Esteban, who's 8 years old or something.
No, 12.
Oh, 12? Oh, he looked much younger. At any rate.
And his daughter, we should say, is maybe like in her early 20s.
That's what we're thinking. Yeah. We don't really know for sure. But there seems to be an age difference between the two siblings. I mean, we can feel the angst and the urgency that this guy has, and he doesn't really know anything about where she is. So he is really seeking, searching, but is he just doing that for his daughter? Is there something else going on? We don't know. I like Peepa, the dog. I like the performances by the non-actors. Thought that worked well. I mean, they're physically, they fit our sort of stereotype of what these nomadic folks might be and look like. But there was a tenderness among them, and their care for one another and ultimately for Sergei is evident as well.
Yeah, and we really haven't talked a lot about the music, which I found just perfect for this film. And there's scenes at the very beginning in which it's this pulsating electronic, like house music, and all these people out in the middle of the desert, you know, with these ridges in the background, and they're just moving this boom, 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 boom. And it really is affecting. And then throughout the rest of the film, at specific points, the music comes in and goes, too. So I thought you, Nathan, in particular, would be impressed by the music.
Well, and the movie was also, we mentioned that Surratt was nominated for Best International Film. It was also nominated for Best Sound.
Mm-hmm. And didn't it win a jury award at Cannes?
Yeah, it did. And I had a friend who actually did get to see this in a theater in California and reported to me that it is maybe the loudest movie he's ever seen. So I do think that there is something to having seen this movie in a theater, because you also sort of, with movies like this, you almost kind of want to feel trapped by them.
Yeah.
Like, especially as the bad things start happening, which we've talked around on purpose, you sort of feel stuck along with the characters. And I kept thinking all the way through that Lachey, the director, he's obviously indebted to the French horror films of the early 2000s, mid-2000s, which has been called the new French extremity. And they used really intense themes, often very graphic violence, to sort of channel the state of France. So movies like Irreversible, Martyrs, the work of Catherine Breillat. And I think he is especially inspired by Gaspar Noé, who made Irreversible. And the first 15 minutes of this movie, Surratt, where the characters are dancing and the EDM is just pummeling us, reminded me of the opening scene of Noé's film Climax, which is also about people dancing until they drop dead, basically.
Yeah.
I've also seen Surratt, especially after it premiered at Cannes, compared to The Wages of Fear and Sorcerer,
yes.
both of which are adaptations of a novel about these guys who have to transport extremely volatile nitroglycerin through the South American jungle. And I think it's an apt comparison in terms of the premise and just that single-minded drive that it has, which you mentioned. But I don't think it comes close to building the tension that those movies, especially Sorcerer,
do. As you say, we talked around specific plot points in Surratt, and I think we do that for a specific reason, because the surprise of the film, that's what gives whatever power there is, that's what provides it. However, we have to say, if you are sensitive at all to the death of innocence, be prepared, because it is a shocker.
But I have to point out that unlike some other films that we review, Surratt, there's not the graphic violence that some other films, and I think that's eerier. I think that's actually more horrifying in some respects when you don't see the immediate aftermath of what transpires, up close and personal. But yeah, I was fascinated because we waited so long to see this and we had seen the other international films. I'm sorry, after seeing all of them now, I'm not down with Sentimental Value winning the best
either.
Foreign language film. Just saying,
I would have rather have
international
this one?
Film. I'd rather have any of the other ones.
Yeah, come right. On.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
You're turning on.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
No,
in
no,
real
no,
time.
No.
Yeah, yeah. I picked it as one of my top 10 movies, but
okay. Well, yeah. That's for another argument.
Another show. Yeah. Yes. And that was our discussion of the Oscar-nominated film Surratt. This is Movies 101. It's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to discuss the French film Alpha. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Brendan McMurphy, sales manager at Spokane Public Radio. Our listeners crave all things local. Local news, music, arts, and culture. And they love to support local business. Program underwriting with SPR is a win-win. Your business support sustains public radio while we connect you with our audience. To learn more about business support or to become a program underwriter, email me at underwriting@kppx.org. And thank you.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbender, and I discuss the Oscar-nominated film Surratt. Let's now turn to a story of a young Berber French girl and her family struggles. If the film Surratt that we discussed in the first half feels hampered by a lack of context, Alpha gives us more than most films can handle. Alpha, played by Melissa Boros, is a girl born into a Berber family living in an unnamed French coastal community. When we first meet her, she is 13 and in the process of receiving a tattoo. Trouble is, Alpha is only half awake and unaware of what is happening. And when her doctor, mother, played by Golshifteh Farahani, finds out what's happened, she's immediately concerned that Alpha has picked up a deadly virus. All this occurs before Alpha's heroin addict uncle, Amin, played by Tahar Rahim, shows up. From there, things get progressively more complicated as French writer-director Julia Ducournau explores not just family dysfunction, not just drug addiction, not just the specter of a fatal disease and the fear that it spawns, but all of this plays out as Alpha must weather the toxic world of, yes, middle school. Ducournau has created a dramatic artistic trek, one that is far different from her 2021 body horror study, Titan, but one that might be just a slight bit overstuffed.
For aficionados of Titan, I think we need to be clear that this is a different film from that one. as a matter of fact, Dan and I were talking about Titan, and he couldn't remember parts of it, but I'm sure Nathan will be willing to fill us in on all the gory details.
Oh, it seared into my brain.
Of course, because there are some memorable scenes involving sex and automobiles and so forth. But so this is a much different sort of approach, and it's taking place during an unnamed time period, but we later sort of discover it is the 1980s, early 90s. So there's some time shifting that happens in this film, and we can tell only that that's happening in two ways. One, the mother doctor, who never really has a name to the best of my remembrance or knowledge, she has two different hairstyles. And so we're able to figure out automatically what time period we're in because of that. And then the girl, she goes from 5 years old to 13 years old. So there's this 8-year span. And so the acting in this film, I mean, we've mentioned the two female protagonists, one mom, one daughter. I thought the real star of this film was Tahar Rahim, who was the star of the outstanding A Prophet, which is a commentary on the French prison system from, I'd say, what, 15 years ago, maybe? But he was amazing. And in this particular film, apparently he lost 40 pounds so he could play his heroin-addicted character. But he's really, to me, in many respects, sort of the heart of the movie, because we're talking about family, we're talking about addiction, we're talking about this mysterious virus that maybe we can only suspect what that might be. But the thing I liked about this film is I thought that it was presenting these different topics in a way that were interwoven. And some people are going to be put off by that. But I thought it worked somehow. And I also like the fact that when people developed this disease, they turned to porcelain. And I thought those creatures or those characters or those the human metamorphosis was fascinating. I thought it was beautiful, actually. So I may be among a minority of people who are enthused about this movie, so I'm going to let my co-hosts weigh in.
I'm joining your ranks on this one, MP. I liked Alpha as well, and I was a fan of Du Courneau's first two movies. She did Titan, as you mentioned, but also a movie called Raw, which was about a college student who develops a taste for human flesh.
Ooh.
And so both of those movies are firmly in the genre of body horror. And I've seen Alpha described in the same way. But I think that's a total misnomer, because even though it is a movie about disease and we see how that disease literally breaks people down, and as you mentioned, they sort of become these, yeah, like stone figures as it takes over their bodies.
And then they sort of puff this vapor at the end.
It's a really powerful image. I think the movie develops more into a family drama than it does any kind of horror. And it did not feel overstuffed to me, even though it is dealing with a lot of stuff, I agree, because I saw this movie first and foremost about this disease. And I don't think I'm spoiling anything to say that this is clearly an AIDS allegory.
Yeah.
And all of those threads, the brother's drug use, the mother's paranoia about her daughter's behavior, the behavior itself and Alpha's other teenage friends, the way that she's treated at school because she's perceived to have this disease.
It's very much like the movie Plague that just came out.
I thought of that too. But all of those threads connect back to this disease that is spreading. And that's the fulcrum that everything in the story revolves around. And if I have a problem with this movie, Alpha, it's that it's basically a stew of metaphors. And beneath all the symbolism and the surrealism, there's a pretty straightforward family story there. Mm-hmm. But I liked how all those threads tied together. I liked how Du Courneau kind of gradually brings clarity to these relationships and also to the time that is passing. And I found the ending to be unexpectedly moving and also not at all what I expected from when the movie began. I understand that this has been pretty divisive, and I don't know if it's because people go into this thinking it's going to be another Titan, which is this gonzo crazy movie.
Almost every review mentions that, says, oh, if you like Titan, you're going to be disappointed.
Which I like Titan, and I was not disappointed in this. It's a different movie. She's swimming in similar waters because there is horror imagery in here. There is dream imagery in here. There are themes about the body breaking down, but it's going about it in a much more tender and subdued way. And I liked the fact that it wasn't just another Teton. Why would she want to repeat herself?
I agree. And so we've been talking about the AIDS sort of allegory. But also, I mean, I was thinking of even COVID. And
I thought of that too.
At one point, all these people are like storming the hospital. And it looks like a scene from The Pit.
From The Pit, absolutely.
A really, really bad day.
The HBO Max series, yes.
The security guard is trying to keep these people back. And then she, mother doctor, you know, is torn between her obligations as a healthcare provider and, you know, survival.
Yeah. Two things. One is, and I was laughing simply because you were calling it tender and subdued, and there are
compared to Teton.
Yes, in terms of its themes and the tone, but there are some scenes in this film like when she's trying to bandage up his back, you know, in which that's anything but subdued. But the other thing I was going to say is that the character of the mother is very complex because she's not a particularly good mother. She's concerned about her daughter, but she's willing to sacrifice that daughter. She keeps throwing the daughter at the brother. It seems like she has more of an affection and a feel and a loyalty to her brother than even her own kin. Well, so and that makes her an interesting character.
I would try and push back on that, but pushing back on it would, I think, reveal things about the movie, Alpha, that I don't want to reveal. I thought that once everything clicks into place at the end, it makes you think back on everything that's come before and realize that what we were seeing wasn't exactly what we were seeing, if that makes any sense. And I also just think that I don't want to oversell this movie too much because I liked it. And I know that a lot
and
of people.
And so did I.
Yeah, and
I liked
I think
it too.
I know a lot of people don't. But I also think that Du Coursnay, just as a visual stylist, I think she has an amazing eye and an amazing imagination. All of these images, the people turned into, you know, marble. This city that at the end of the film is swept up by this storm of
right,
red dust.
The red wind.
Yes.
This is a recurring Berber
That's right.
theme
That's
throughout.
Right. There's also this image where the uncle and Alpha are sleeping in the same room. He's on the floor, she's in a bed, and the mother walks in and they're both writhing in their sleep and they're doing it almost in unison, like they're synchronized dancers. And that's an image that's going to stay with me for a long time because I think that's the key to understanding the mother's character and all of her fears about what
perhaps,
her daughter is going through.
Perhaps, but as you say, in Alpha, scenes go back and forth from between what's really happening, what is happening
happened.
Right now has happened, and what is the characters are imagining
right.
that is happening. I mean, because there's one scene in which she Alpha herself is in the swimming pool, and all of a sudden, because her wound gets open and she bangs her head, all of a sudden, the swimming pool is filled with blood around her. Well, that isn't going to happen, but it makes
but
for an amazing
that
image.
Allegory for you know, coming of age.
Yeah, it felt like Carrie almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. This seems to be getting all kinds of reactions, and I'm fascinated by that.
Well, we saw Alpha in the theater,
yeah.
and we saw Surratt streaming because we couldn't see it any other way. So just wanted to let people know where they might find these films.
Yeah. That was our discussion of the French film Alpha. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbinder, Mary Pat Truthart, and I discussed the Oscar-nominated film Surratt. Let's take this moment to thank Aaron Bratt for directing the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer, wherever we can find it. Until then, consider these words from the late, great David Lynch. When I catch an idea for a film, I fall in love with the way cinema can express it. I like a story that holds abstractions, and that's what cinema can do. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.